I've enjoyed the meeting. Thankful I could be here. This is the most I've been in one Guthrie meeting in a long time, of all the way through from start to finish. But thank the Lord we're able to be here. We're glad to have my cousin with us. Pat Spear has been coming to some of the meetings, and we appreciate that. All right, we want to talk about a subject tonight that really had been good to preach this at the start of the meeting instead of the end. But the Lord didn't burden me that way. So, we're going to go what the Lord says and not what Carl thinks. Let's go to Matthew, the 6th chapter, please. Desire your prayers as we look into the Word. 6th chapter and about the 5th verse to start with here. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues, in the corner of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have the reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou shut the door, pray unto the Father which is in secret. Thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things that you have need of before you ask him. After this manner, therefore, pray ye. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Now then, what I got on my heart is pray without ceasing. We're going to go from this meeting, and we're going to need to just keep good prayer. Vigil up, because the devil knows what we've heard here. He knows what we're reaching out for. He knows the victories we've gotten, and he knows he's going to try to stop us. He knows he's going to try to hinder us. So tonight we want to have a prayer vigil, so to speak, in our lives. And how many of us have got what I would call a prayer vigil or a regular prayer life? When I've dealt with people at the altar down through the years, I've told them, I said, there are three things that's a must absolute. One of them is prayer, one of them is reading the Bible, and the third is to go to meeting and to camp meetings and so forth. That is something that's an absolute must, because you and I have got to keep a contact with the Father and keep a contact with the Son if you and I are going to make heaven our home. That's the way we get our victories. That's the way we get our depth. That's the way we get our understanding, our enlightenment. And everything that's there, we get it through prayer, looking to God. There have been times that you and I have prayed and God's answered things real quickly. Other times, maybe he's allowed things to go a little bit, but he eventually will open it up, show it to us, answer whatever we need in a way that will be a blessing to you and I. So he says here, I like starting over here. Enter into thy closet. Now, I don't know that this is really talking about a closet in a house. To me, it's shutting off everything on the outside and getting your mind pulled into prayer. That's what I'm considering it be. And when thou shut the door, pray to thy Father. Pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Listen, folks, we have the opportunity to talk to the greatest three individuals in the world. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. We have that. He said, pray to the Father. Talk to the Father. Listen, this is not just any Father. This is a loving, kind, gentle. This is a powerful individual or individuals that work together to give us everything that we need. Whether it be food, whether it be money, whether it be clothes, whether it be a house or a car, whatever it might be, the Lord has got the power to do that. He said there, be not therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of I'm thankful that he knows my needs before I ever ask him. Now, I ask him quite a bit on some of these things, but the bottom line is he says he knows it before I ask him. He knows that. Pray without ceasing. Can you pray without ceasing? And Brother Carl, you know that's almost impossible. No, it's not. Because you can pray riding down the road. You can pray driving a car. You can pray flying in jet airplanes. You can pray riding on trains or buses, whatever. You can pray at home. I pray a lot of time. Molly and I will have our evening worship, and I don't go right to bed. Sometimes I don't get to sleep till 12, 31, 1, 2 o'clock in the morning. So a lot of times in between somewhere in 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, on, a lot of times I'm in prayer. I'm in prayer seeking God. I seek him during the day too. But this is a quiet time. It's very quiet. I just shut things out, so to speak, and get into a spirit of prayer and seeking God, and he will open up and help me, reveal, encourage, uplift, whatever I need. He's right there. He wants you to talk to him, and he wants to talk to you. So he said here, "Thy Father, therefore pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed." His name is a hallowed name. It's a powerful, loving name. "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth." In other words, we're surrendering, we're giving to God. "Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debt as we forgive our debtors. But lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Now then, let's go to Luke 6 and 12. Luke 6 and 12. "And Jesus, and it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray, and he continued all night in prayer to God. And when it was day, he called unto him his disciples. And of them he chose 12, whom also he named apostles. And he gives the names of the ones that he chose." All right, Mark 1 and 35, Mark 1 and 35, he says here, "And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out, departed into a solitary place, and there prayed." Now, folks, Jesus didn't have a lot of time here on earth. What, as far as the work of the Lord, three and a half years? He did not have a lot of time. So consequently, if he's going to accomplish what needs to be accomplished, him and the Father is going to have an ongoing connection for him to be led. He prayed all night. He was fixing to seek the ones that's going to work with him for then, and after he went to heaven, it's going to be a place where he wanted them to be the right ones. Not just anybody. He had to select. So him and the Father had a powwow, so to speak, and they chose. They worked together. And then he said he went up and he prayed. Prayed all night. Prayed all night. Lord, help us. Start early in the morning. Pray at night. Pray any time that you need to pray, but pray. But pray. Jesus left an example of prayer. He left an example of the connection. If you and I are going to accomplish things, we're going to have the leadership and the connection of the Spirit of God to be able to go the places, do the things, and say the things, and be the things that we need to be. We're going to have him. We're going to have him opening doors. We're going to have him leading and working. It's not all the preachers, folks. I know who we are and I know what we do. But listen, saints, this thing rests on you too. This thing rests on you and the fact that you know people out there that we don't know. You know people that you can invite to meeting. You know people that you can talk to and give scriptures to and whatever it might be. You know all of that. But you need to have a connection with the Father whereby he will help you to know exactly what to do, when to do, and how to do. And then it'll be more prosperous. And that's what we want. We want an absolute work of the Spirit of God whereby that we will have something that will come to fruition, the right fruition at the end of our working with these people. 55 and 17 of Psalms says, Evening and morning and noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. Evening and morning at noon, I'm going to pray aloud. All right, now then, I think my actual text is right here in 1 Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians 5 and 17. It said, pray without ceasing. That's a small scripture with a big, powerful message. Pray without ceasing. Like I said, you can pray in your mind. You don't have to be praying out loud, but you can pray in your heart and your mind. You can do it. I've done it many times. I've traveled thousands upon thousands of miles. I've flown thousands of miles. I've been here and there, and I've been praying, and people didn't even know what I was doing. I was sitting there just steadily praying, seeking God, and so forth. And they might have looked at me, but they never heard anything because I was seeking God through the heart and the mind, seeking him, asking him, Lord, have mercy. I love to fly. But let me tell you something. When they reach up there, and this is the way I visualize it, I'm not really sure I'm right on this, but they got a pilot over here and a pilot over there, and they got two deals right here. And then pilots reach up and grab those, and they start pulling them down. And that's when them old engines start to roar, and that's when I start praying. I start seeking God right then because I want to go up, and I want to come down safely. I want that. And then in between, sometimes I'm headed to meetings. I wanted to go to La Ronja after the wreck. And so I thought Molly Ann was where she could go. I said, Carl, I'm not there yet. I said, if you want to go, you can go. So I went back to my office or my bedroom or wherever, and I said, Lord, I said, I need you to heal my wife. You can make her where she can go with me down to La Ronja. And he spoke to me. He said, you can fly, can't you? I like the way he talks to me. I like the way he makes things real pointed sometimes. You can fly, can't you? Well, yeah, all right. I flew. I went down there, and they picked me up, and they took me back, and they had me there in the meeting, and it worked out fine. But you got to get these things through prayer. Your leadership of the Spirit to help you to know what to say, what to do. Maybe a testimony at church, or maybe a Sunday school teacher. You need to pray to get your lessons. Ministers got to pray to get their messages. Say, well, it's up to you guys. No, it's not totally all up to us, because you have a part in these services too. We like to hear from you. We like to hear the things that you say too. So then pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. You can do that. Lord, help us to do it. Help us to seek the Lord and say, Lord, we need you. We need your help. We need your leadings. We need your guidings. All right, let's go to 5 and 13 of James, 5, 13 and 16. It said, any among you afflicting, let him pray. Any merry, let him sing songs. And then it says, prayer of faith shall save the sick. The Lord shall raise him up, and if he committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Now he said here, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Let him spend time praying. Now you'd think that wouldn't be a problem. You're on your bed, you can't do nothing, you can't go anywhere. You're hurting and so forth, and you think, well, this would be a good time for them to pray. But are they praying? Are they praying like they need to? They need to be praying before the ministers come and after the ministers leave. There have been times that many people have been healed right there when we were there. I'm talking about we. I'm not talking about me particularly. But the ministers come over and anoint and pray for somebody, spend time with them, and the Lord work right then. Heal them and bless them. Oh, today, folks, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. The Lord wants us. And sometimes he allows afflictions to get our attention. He allows it to slow us down. And he allows it to do things. And we need to get in that sync of mind with the Lord. And Lord, if you're allowing that, what do I need to do? What do I need to confess? What do I need to change? Which way do I need to go? said, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Effectual fervent prayer. Lord, help us to have that effectual praying, working together. Let's go to Romans 12 and 12. Romans 12 and 12. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Distribute the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Now he said here, continuing instant in prayer. Continuing instant in prayer. Lord, help us to do that. Help us to do that. How much time do you give the Lord every day? 30 minutes? Hour? Hour and a half? Do you break it? I mean, sometimes you need to do things. I mean, I do it sometimes. I'll pray for a while and go do something, come back and pray some more and go do something and whatever. And you can do it that way. There's so many ways you can do it. There's no set pattern. The pattern is, so to speak, you get in touch with God. You get in touch with Him. And Lord, help us. I was seeking the Lord concerning, I was going to come out of Florida. I was going to come up here for this meeting. And then Molly said, well, Carl said, if you want to go to the West Coast, the Pacoima meeting, going out there in January, go. So she was being kind about it, and I appreciate that. She had her family to be with, and I'd be with the saints and do our things back in this part and down there. And I was considering that. And I got to looking at the prices of the, this is the same time of the Laranger, no, it's the same time I was coming here. And so I was looking, beginning to look at ticket prices between L.A. and here, and the Lord spoke to me. He said, don't go. But it caught me by surprise, so I just shut everything down and went and done some things. And slept that night, got up, come back in, started in again. The Lord spoke to me and said, don't go. See, it helped for you and I to pray. Come to find out, I come to the Guthrie meeting. My brother over here picked me up, and the airport and so forth, and we come, was in, I guess, about all the meeting. And they're in January. Or end of December. And then right at the very, very end of the meeting, sitting right over there on that bench, I started getting sick. And I thought, yes, Lord, you knew what you were doing. He knew I was going to get sick, and so he just flat stopped me from doing it. I wouldn't have been able to go anyway. Maybe I could have canceled my ticket deal, maybe. But still, he just saved me some time and energy and maybe some money. Of having to do that. He leads, he guides. He works in answer to prayer. That's a great blessing to you and I. I'm encouraging you to pray without ceasing. Look to God. Get acquainted with Him. Know Him better. Jesus and the Father worked together. The disciples and Him worked together. When Jesus went back, they prayed. They sought God. They spent time praying and looking to God. God worked with them and helped them and led them and guided them. It didn't stop then. It's all the way down to today. If we're going to accomplish anything for the Lord, we need to start in as quick as we can. And looking to God, saying, Lord, lead us, guide us. If you feel like that you have a calling. If you feel like that you're being called to do something, pray. Don't get in any hurry. Just pray. Seek the Lord. Talk to Him about it. You might seek an elder out and talk to them, or you might not. You may just keep it between you and God and pray and seek God. And let the Lord come down and speak to you and work with you and do things to help you to know if you're to do something or if you're not. There is people that miss their callings. There is people that thought they were called to teach or preach or whatever. They weren't that way. They missed their callings. I've seen it happen down through the years. I can name names, but I'm not going to do it. And they missed those callings. Did they pray enough? Maybe not. Somehow, something, they didn't get the right answer somehow. I've seen people that were preaching among us, and they started walking away. Went out and got into things that they should never got into. The Lord has a very clean and clear and working ministry that he works with. And so consequently, when that is the way it should be, everything works perfect. Works well anyway. So Lord, help us. If you think you're called, like I said, don't get in no big hurry. I didn't take an overly long time. But when the Lord stands and speaks to you where you can hear it with your natural ears, you get a pretty good idea that he wants you to do something. And I was seeking him walking across the parking lot one day of a grocery store, outside praying. And I said, Lord, what am I going to be? If I'm going to be something, what do you want? Am I going to be an evangelist? Am I going to be a pastor? He didn't answer me either one. He told me, he said, I want you to preach what I give you. And he heard it where I could hear it with his natural ear. And, well, okay. And since I've done both, if he had told me you're going to be both, it scared me about to death. But he didn't do that. He knew what he was doing because he knew what he was going to do with me way before I did at that point. And then another time, I was had been down to a meeting in the South. I was interested in getting married. So you knew what I'd do, and I was looking at girls. And come back home, and I was thinking about some of these girls, and I was getting ready to go to work, and I was there, and the Lord spoke to me real plain, just like I'm talking to you. And he said, if you're going to be a minister for me, he said, you let me pick your companion. Let me do it. That's what puts such a fear in me. That's why it took me so long to ever get married the first time. Is because I was very, very careful to not make a miss on that. And I probably waited too long. But another friend of mine, we're the very same age. He's a little bit older than I am, from October, I think, to February. But he and I both, we had crossed the 25-year point. And once you cross that, a lot of times it slows you down. It has a real difference in your looking at things. And then when the Lord tells you, you let me pick your companion, that really puts it in the circle then. So pray. You can pray and seek God for anything and everything. Anything and everything. All right, let's look a little bit further in the scripture here. 1 John 5 and 14. John 5:14, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And we know that he hear us whatsoever we ask. We know that we have the petitions that we desire of him. So we're looking, we've got a confidence in prayer that the Lord's going to do something. As we reach out and we seek him and so forth, and the Lord wants to do that. He wants to build a confidence up in us. Mark 11 and 24 here. I'm going with that. He said, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. And when you stand praying, forgive. If you have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. If you do not forgive, neither your Father which is in heaven forgive you your trespass. So he said, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe. that you receive them and you shall have them. When you pray, you've got to mix it with faith. You've got to have a real faith. Now, when I was growing up, my daddy wasn't rich, but he wasn't poor neither. And we learned pretty quick on vacations that we could ask for about anything within reason and get it. In other words, we wanted a pop, or we wanted a candy bar, or we wanted an ice cream bar, or whatever. Dad usually get it for us pretty quick. Well, the same thing, I knew. Folks, the Lord wants to give us things. The Lord wants to bless us. He wants to enlighten us. He wants to do things for us. So consequently, he said, believe. What things soever you desire when you pray, believe. Believe that you receive them and you shall have them. Believe that. Believe that he's going to work. Believe that he's going to bless. Believe that he's going to lead, guide, and direct. Open up. Show you, teach you, whatever. Believe in that, and the Lord's going to help us. He's going to work with you. Work with me. Right, let's go to Matthew 17 and 21 here. Said, howbeit this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. Howbeit this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. There's a connection in here that the Lord is wanting us to pray. But there's times we need to fast. My sister-in-law, my first sister-in-law, my only sister-in-law on Rebecca's side, Eve Lou Gaines, she was sick, very sick. She was dying of cancer. I decided I was going to fast and pray for her. And I did. And the Lord began to deal with me. He began to reveal unto me what the problem was. There's a reason why she wasn't getting healed. And I looked at it because I had confidence in her. I thought, could this really be? So after a certain point of my hours and hours of praying and fasting, I said, Rebecca, I want to tell you what the Lord has showed me. And I opened it up to her. And I don't want to tell you all about it, but I opened it up to her, and Rebecca looked at me and said, that's it right there. She knew it herself. And, but I guess I can say this much. I want to be careful on how I say this. But the bottom line was, Eve Lou really didn't have faith in her for her healing. There's where it come down to. It was such a major thing to her that she just flat didn't have faith for her healing. And the Lord revealed all that to me in fasting and praying and seeking God. Sometimes we think, well, we can just do it by praying. Maybe we can. But if that don't work, I encourage you to fast and pray and seek God. I do know this, that I had a vision. The one in 85, this one was actually in 83. This is before I got married. No, it's after I got married. And Aaron Myrtle, up above the deal on this wall right up here, there, I had a vision of Eve Lou. She was standing on a kind of a half balcony deal, or whatever you want to call it. And all this here was all black metal. Eve Lou had on the most glorious dress I've ever seen in my life. It radiated. And you know what she was doing? She was standing there and she's looking at us and she's going like this. Come on. Come on, children. Come on. I knew she was in heaven. I told Rebecca going to the graveyard. We walked over there because it's in the same place there at Myrtle on the campground. And I told her what I'd seen. We got over there, and the minister that done the graveside service said the very same thing, word for word, nearly. And I've wondered since then how many more people saw it. Was it just the two of us? Maybe. Oh, she was beautiful. She was beautiful. She radiated. That dress was so just a glorious white, so to speak. And she was going like this. Smiling, big smile, and going like this. Well, she didn't have faith to get healed, but she had faith to make heaven. She had faith to make heaven. Oh, saints, sometimes we're going to have to pray, and some of the answers we get may not be what we want, But fasting and prayer working together can bring you to a place to help you to know what he wants you to do. I got to the place where that, well, Rebecca was there too. I got to the place where Rebecca and I come to an understanding we're going to have to do one or two things. We're either going to get married or we're going to have to bust up. Well, I was looking for a certain particular answer that I couldn't get. I prayed and I prayed and I prayed and I could not get that answer. But I had all kind of other answers. From the very beginning, I had a six-part prayer that I prayed, and after Rebecca and I started going together, we were talking, and I told her what I'd prayed. She said, the Lord answered every one of them. I could have gotten married the first 2 months, but I kept waiting for this other answer because the brother that prayed this prayer was so, what I want to call it, I had such a high esteem of him. If I told you who it was, you probably, yeah. Well, I'll just tell you who it was, Brother Leslie. And he had prayed a certain prayer to get Sister Sylvia, and the Lord had answered that, but the Lord wouldn't give it to me. I tried and tried. He would not. And so finally, after we made this agreement that we're going to either get married or break up, I went home and I fasted and started fasting and praying. And I went back in my bedroom one morning, and I was on my knees, and I was begging God, and God just brought a film strip in my mind is the best way I know to tell it. He took me back to the first prayer. He showed me everyone that I'd prayed. He showed me everyone that he had answered. And he got through and he said, how many more do you need, child? I don't guess I need any more, Lord. He gave me another scripture out of the Bible. I got up from there. I proposed 1 year to the day from the day I took her out on her first date. And then in May 7th of 1983, we got married. But again, it took God. See, I was so, and you may get this way too, I was wanting certain things, but at the same time, I was also scared because I didn't want to make the wrong move. Praying. The Lord likes to answer your prayers, and he likes to startle you sometimes when he does. How many more do you need, child? How many more? I got it, Lord. I got it. This is enough right here. And the Lord blessed. But prayer and fasting. All right, let's get a wrap down. Let's go to 1 Timothy 2 and 1. 1 Timothy 2 and 1. Have you got any made any, I don't want to say this. In other words, you've decided that you're going to go home from the meeting and you're going to pray more. Not because I'm preaching this, but I'm going to pray more, I'm going to read more, I'm going to go to meeting more and so forth. Have you made that consecration or idea that I want to do that? Guess what? The devil will try to stop you when you do. He don't want you to pray more. He don't want you to go to meeting more. He doesn't want you to do this or do that. All right, 1 Timothy 2 and 1 said, I exhort therefore that first of all supplication, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good, acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Whereunto I am ordained a preacher and apostle to speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. Now he said, I exhort therefore that first of all supplication, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. The people don't know it, but there's saints back there begging and pleading and praying for people. They're like Sister Marcia. She went out there to see her brother, spend time with him, to help him. I admire that. But most of us would do the very same thing if our brother or our sister was in trouble. We would go to them. He probably doesn't know the prayers that you prayed for him behind closed doors. And what Brother Jerry backed you up and the girls and everything, he probably doesn't know that. But he said supplication, prayers, intercessions. In other words, get down to seriousness in this thing. But giving a thanks for all men, for kings, the higher up, for all that are in authority, the leaders, the workers in the upper places in government, that we may lead a quiet and a peaceful life in all godliness and honesty, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth. Have all men to be saved. First of all, supplication, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks. Now, we never know from day to day how things are going to go with any president, or if people lived in England, with any king. But yet, they're making things. They've got things going in their minds. We don't know what's in their minds, but the Lord does. And we need to seek God. Lord, help them to think the right things, make the right moves, and to do the right things. Because we want to lead a quiet and a peaceful life. In all godliness and honesty, we want to do that. And it's going to be God that's going to control those kind of things and work. There have been many times that as you have lived for the Lord and you prayed and the Lord has answered your prayers and you've seen something change with a person, on the job, whatever it might be, and you say, thank you, Lord. I appreciate you doing that. Well, he can do it in the higher-ups, too. It don't have to be just with our job or whatever, but he can do it all the way from the top to the bottom. All right, let's wrap her up here. Isaiah 66 in closing. Isaiah 66, the very last chapter of Isaiah, I think it is. 66 and 7. It said, before she travailed, she brought forth. Before her pain came, she was delivered of a man child. Who has heard such a thing? Who has seen such things? Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day? Or shall a nation be born at once? For as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. For as soon as Zion travailed, folks, that's us. How many of you want to see people saved? You've got loved ones maybe that's not living for the Lord. You've got friends. You've got relatives. Whatever it might be. The Lord said, ask and you shall receive. Pray. Seek God. Look. You can invite them to me. You can do all kinds of things. But behind closed doors, the thing to be done right there is to pray. All right, you have 60 seconds in a minute. You have 60 minutes in an hour. 24 hours a day, 168 hours in a week, 720 in a 30-day month, and 724 in a 31-day month. You have 8 hours sleep, you have 8 hours work or school, you have 1 hour travel, 1 hour to get ready, you've got 1.5 hours to eat. That's 19 and a half hours in a day. What do you do with the rest of it? What are you doing with the rest of it? The Lord wants us to give ourselves to prayer. He wants us to seek the Lord. Spend time. Get to know him better. Get out and dig and pray and see what the Lord would have you to do. Tracts to give out. Letters to write. Phone calls. Texts to make. To help people to say, hey, he wants me to come to meeting. Well, she's really interested in me. I appreciate your prayer tonight. And I want to talk to you just a minute off record. In this meeting 1 year ago, there was a message preached on prayer. I praise. the West Virginia meeting, there was another message preached on praise. The first minister never knew what the first one had preached that I know of. And then we got into Monarch and we had a third one. And that was Brother Jerry, and he started off on one subject, and I've questioned him about this. I said, did you intentionally switch? In other words, was you going to go this far on this, what you were preaching, and then get on this? And if I remember right, that's what he told me. Yes, that's what my intention was. He preached on it too. Now, folks, we're too quiet. I love you, but I'm going to tell you the truth. The Lord wants us to praise Him. He wants us to praise Him at home. He wants us to praise Him at work, maybe not loud, so to speak, but you still thank the Lord. Praise Him. He wants us to praise Him at meeting. We used to do this. I mean, I've been around a while. I didn't show up yesterday. I've been over here over 50-something years now, and I know the praises and the rejoicing that we had. Back before a certain fellow showed up in 1987, 86, and then he left in about 88, he left, and he took some things with him, and one of the things he took from the saint was her praise. I'm telling you the truth. I love you, but I'm letting you know this is the truth. All right, now then, Brother Dan, you preached on praise. There was another message preached in Wichita, in this Wichita meeting on praise. I'm wanting to see how many messages the Lord's going to give us on praise in this summer. Now then, I could be wrong, but I think the Lord is trying to get our attention, and maybe we're not listening good enough. I'm not wanting to condemn anybody. I'm just telling you flat out. He's trying, because I've never seen Him do it quite like He's done it. And there's been others that's backed the ones up, but the bottom line is the three messages last summer, and now then we've already had two in two meetings. That to me is telling us we need to start praising God. We need to start thanking the Lord. We need to. You don't have to run the aisles. I've seen people running up and down the aisles. I've seen them raising their hands. I've seen them jumping on the sides and so forth. I've seen all of that. And I'm not saying, but we don't even open our mouths and say, thank you, Jesus. When the message is being preached that time, we sit there and look at the preacher and don't say anything. Listen, I'd like to bring every one of you up here. And I'd like to have you preach for 15, 20 minutes and everybody be in the crowd just as silent as they can be and see how well you'd like it. It ain't no fun, folks. When the praising and the thank the Lord and we appreciate it, thank you, Jesus. You know what that doing? That's saying sick 'em. Sick 'em. I love you, I wouldn't tell you this. But I'm going to watch through the summer months and I'm going to find out if I'm right. All right, now I want to bring out one more thing. You remember these song services that we've had through the years? In our camp meetings, assembly meetings, where that the blessings would be so rich, it's flowing in your souls, and you can feel it. It's not just any song service. It's an extra blessed song service. Amen? You know what I'm talking about? Come on now. All right. You know what's happened? The Lord has pulled back on that. I don't know if you've noticed it, but I've been watching it. And I've only been in two song services that I can think of in the last year that was even close to it. One of them was in Prague in our fall meeting, and the other one was right here the other night. It got close, but it still wasn't quite what we used to have. Folks, we're missing out on something. Amen? We're missing out on something. We could have more, but the Lord don't have to bless. If we don't praise Him, He don't have to pour out the blessings. He doesn't have to pour out the glory. He doesn't have to do any of that. He can let us be in a dry state in our singing. Now, the Lord's still anointing the preaching. He's still working in the pulpit. I've watched even seen it. And some of the specials are quite good in their singing that way. But I'm talking about just as a body of people singing, and we're not praising, we're not thanking God during the message, we're not thanking God during the singing enough. And I believe the Lord is trying to tell us something. We need to do it. Now I may be thrown out the back door and rolled down a rail. But I'm telling you the truth. If I didn't love you, I wouldn't tell you this kind of stuff because I want you to be blessed. I've enjoyed them, sir, brother. Haven't you? Have you know what I'm talking about? There've been some of us jumping over here and over here and over there, praising God and rejoicing. I hadn't seen that in a long time, quite a while. And I can take one particular instance about the last time I saw it. There was three of us shouting and jumping. Two of it was evangelists. I don't remember who the third one was, but there was a third one in there somewhere. Let's start in a praising God during the singing, during the preaching, exhortations, whatever. Let's open our mouths. Listen, folks, Danny Lane's been dead for years. And what I feel he done was he stole some things from us. He not only took the people, but he took our praise with it. And I'm not the only one that's saying this. I'm not the only one that's saying that. I talked about it at Monarch. I also talked about it at Green Bank when we were there because I knew what had been doing going forth and talked about it and had people that had been with Danny Lane and come back to us and he said, folks, you all lost something. You don't have what you used to have on the praise. I got a text or two of the same thing in Monarch now when we was talking, when that message went forth and we were talking about it there, the same thing. And you know, I thought Sister Donna Adams made a real wonderful calculation. If you were to go to a ball game, just about any ball game you can go to, you go to any ball game, what are you going to see and hear? They're going to be hooping and hollering. They're going to be jumping up and down. They're going to be having their signs, waving it and so forth. And we don't open our mouths. And you know what she said? Do you remember what she said? She said, they're doing it because they've got it on the inside. How much of this have we got on the inside, folks? I love you. I hope you love me when I'm getting through here, but I love you. I'm trying to tell you the truth. Pray for me. I appreciate your time.